This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here are the guys. It's Tim Mize and Uncle Ralph.
Just lost one game.
And thank you very much, Tobinot. Welcome to Sports Saturday. We will have Fighting Illini football coming up for you this morning at 10:30 as Illinois opens up the Big Ten schedule hosting Penn State live at 10:30 here on FM 106. So Sports Saturday will be with you until 10:30 this morning. 6 weeks of the high school football season are now in the books, and in a game heard last night on our sister station, WAOX 105.3 The Ox, Carlinville picked up win number 5 as they defeated Gillespie 63-27. Joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers, Chad Easterday. And Chad, 63 points. I guess the offense was working for you last night.
Yeah, we had another great performance offensively. Just another week of a great line play and some really good, pair of running backs we've talked about before. And a passing game was on all cylinders last night as well. So, very pleased offensively.
And, Coach, that smile on your face has almost become permanent.
Well, we had some problems defensively again. We just can't get that seam to be hammered out, and no way, shape, or form did they lay down or anything like that. But, a few miscues, few lined up things, some stuff to work on for next week, that's for sure.
Well, you guys were trading scores with Gillespie for basically a majority of the first half, but I guess the defense had to step up and make some plays for you in the second half.
Yeah, they did. We got some things settled down again, and, they came out with a few other little wrinkles that we weren't quite prepared for, and I think that's a little bit of our youth there. On the defensive side of the football that we had to adjust to, and once we got a stop, and then it rolled our way. We had a big key interception there when we were up seven. Kyle Kleeman picked the ball off. They kind of changed the momentum for us a little bit, and then I thought Joe did a great job with a 2-minute drill right there at the end of the half, and we stuck one in, which really, really swung the momentum, having deferred on a coin flip.
When I heard the scores of some of the football games this morning, Chad, I thought we was in basketball season. 60 points and 50 points and a lot of high-scoring games. Barn burner at Nokomis last night. Boy, they scored, put a bunch of points on the board there.
I just think the offenses have evolved so much, both in the running and the passing game, that, there's so many tweaks and so many things you have to prepare for that you get a lot of vanilla defenses, and you can start mixing and matching matchups as you want.
And you see these backs now. My gosh, I never saw kids run like some of these kids. I don't know what their diet they're on when they're growing up, but, boy, we got some speedsters out there.
Speed's a wonderful thing. I'll tell you what, Lou Finero always said speed kills, so.
Absolutely. And, Chad, you mentioned Kyle Kleeman a moment ago. I remember him even last year. He really seems to have great ball skills in the secondary.
Yeah, he really does. This is his two and a half years playing that position, and he's kind of got a lot of leadership skills back there and a lot of ball skills both on that side of the ball and the other. So he's definitely in charge of our secondary.
So he's one of those guys. He's not a defensive back because he can't catch the ball.
That's correct. He is not a defensive back for that reason at all. So he made two great catches last night, I thought. One on a pretty good speed route, and then he caught one at the end of the half there in a little bit of traffic, and it was a great catch.
Chad, the way you guys move offensively, I would think that sometimes that's one of your best attributes defensively, because you're not necessarily the quote-unquote quick strike team. You're going to go down the field with your running game, pound it right at the opponent's defense. So in a way, it gives your defense a chance to rest and catch their breath a lot of the time.
Yeah, it really does. And, that's definitely not something that we thought. I mean, we never went into this season thinking that we would be averaging 35, 40 points of football game by any shape of the imagination. But, it kind of worked out that way. And, Brennan and Corey both are very, very balanced running backs, and they present a lot of problems for teams that have to balance up on us. So, and when you do that, Tucker Clinton has had 7 carries for 50 yards, and he kind of takes a back seat to that sometimes. But I was talking about a film this morning. Of his 7 carries, 4 of them were for 8 or more yards for a first down. So, those are really critical runs and critical blocking schemes and critical situations.
And your offensive line is so big up front. Just talk about your boys up front, because you guys just don't get 1 or 2 yards. I mean, like you said, you take chunks at a time.
Well, I tell you what, Ben Butcher is my right tackle, and he's a senior. My right guard is Alex Wood, a junior. Kyle Soteriva is my center, a senior. Ethan Dixon is a junior, my left guard, and Josh Boston, the junior, my left tackle. And Cody Fernetti is a senior, my tight end. And they're like having six more coaches on the field because, well, we run a pretty complicated blocking scheme, and they do a real good job, and people try to confuse us. And, you know, Payne is the only one that came close to confusing us, and we did. We got a little tentative in our assignments and wasn't very forceful, and we haven't made that mistake yet. So.
And then, Chad, I guess sometimes, offensive line-wise, can they think too much instead of just going out and reacting?
Yes, I think so. I really do, and I think coaches overcoach them a little bit. It's just like they overcoach the quarterback and running back positions. You know, they're big boys, and they don't need to have a lot of rules. They just need to be able to put their hand in the dirt and know which way to go, and we're getting that job done.
And I guess with the experience you have up front, I guess in theory the way the Carnival football program works is the guys who are starting now, they're kind of tutoring and teaching the underclassmen so they can step in a year or two and fill up the job.
Yeah, you know, we rattled off. We had three juniors and two seniors there, well, three seniors with a tight end. And we have halftime kids that are filling their spots right now. They got some work last night, and our coaching staff's a firm believer in that we have 1.5 people. So those kids get a ton of reps in practice and in the game. So, you know, if, for example, somebody may run three series and off one series, three series off one series, and it doesn't matter if that's the second quarter or the fourth quarter. So, you know, our kids take a lot of pride in being organized, and that's really an attribute to them.
Of course, one of the big things about high school football is, as you go through the season, is to avoid key injuries, and it would appear at this time that so far you've been able to do that.
Yeah, we did not do that last year, and I think the phrase we just used has made a big difference in that approach, that we have kids that are prepared, kids that get breaks. We know we're not getting tired very much. I think we're in better condition than we were last year. And, you know, it's one of those things that's fallen into place. I don't think you necessarily plan for it. I think a little bit of luck has to fall in your favor. You know, I've definitely been on the other end of that where a kid gets hurt or you're in Hillsborough situation, kid blows an ACL in baseball, and that's totally out of your control. So, you know, it's definitely a factor that you have to watch out for.
Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers, joining us here on Sports Saturday. And Chad, I'm just curious to get your thoughts on the progression of your quarterback here as we're now 6 weeks into the season.
I'm extremely proud of him. I tell you what, he has, I'm very, very demanding on him, number one. He gets the brunt of everything that I give, so I'll get a plug for him there. But, you know, he is just very, if I can compliment him on one solid key, is that he is a leadership-oriented kid. And, he stays within himself. He never tries to do too much or too little. You know, we were 5-for-8 for 143. That's perfect for us this year. You know, that's what our goal was, to throw the ball between 10 to 15 times. And the trouble was we had two rain games, and we didn't get that done. So I think the last couple weeks have been a normal progression for what we do. You know, Brendan Stewart and Corey Fernetti are great running backs, and we would be bad coaches if they're not touching the ball a lot. But I think he's able to provide us with some balance, and the more experience he gets, the better his throws get and the better his read progression gets.
And Chad, I think sometimes maybe the dynamic of the coach and the son relationship maybe gets misunderstood at times. People think, oh, he's the coach's kid, he's got it easy, but in reality he's probably got it tougher than any other kid, because last night after the game's over, everybody else goes their own way. Job's right in the car with you.
Well, I tell you what, anyone who ever thinks that's more than welcome at my practice. I'll tell you that right now. That goes for any kid. I think, you know, I made a comment very similar to that at our practice the other day when, you know, our kids are system-oriented. I think we're not a coaching staff that jumps around a lot, very similar to the coaches in the South Central. So I think they understand their roles, and their roles are told to them. And I think our kids really have bought into the system and enjoy it. I hope they enjoy it. We enjoy coaching them.
And, of course, you never talk any football around the supper table.
We talk football all the time. There is no doubt in anyone's mind. It is on the plate at all times. So, you know, and I think that's something that, that the kids see, too. And I think that, you know, that's a relationship that I think is great for our team chemistry as well, because, you know, Job's held at a standard and everybody else is held at the same standard. So, you know, and the coaching staff as well. I had a couple kids say, "Boy, coach, you look tired today. You need to pick it up." I looked at them and I said, "You're exactly right." I said, "I can be tired when I get home tonight, right?" And, you know, that's a relationship that, you know, I really, really enjoy, and I hope that I have the opportunity to do that for many more years.
And the standard of the South Central is right where it normally is. You, along with Greenville and Vandalia, sitting atop the conference now at 5-1, but you've beaten Vandalia and Greenville, so you hold the tiebreakers there. But as we look at the conference as a whole, Chad, boy, Southwestern is really coming on strong here. They're back to 500.
Yeah, I tell you what, we said that after week three, they were 1-2, and, you know, I believe they're, of the three games, Greenville, I think, it spread the margin on them. The other two games, I mean, they're slipping my mind, doesn't really matter, but I think they were a touchdown or 3 points less, you know, spread. So I can tell you that they don't give up very many points, and offensively, there, it's just a matter of time before they get that going over there. You know, that's definitely someone that I think is a slow starter and has been the last couple of years and finished strong as the season has gone on. So, you know, our focus is Hillsboro. I know that their record that last night was a pretty tough loss for them. And I think they're 1-5 now, so obviously the playoffs are out of them. But Coach Duff does a great job, and they'll have them ready to go next week.
Well, you mentioned the playoffs, Chad. You guys got your fifth win last night, so you are playoff eligible. And the South Central, five-win teams get in, and I know you're looking for more, though.
Yeah, we told the kids that before the game. That was our goal. That was one of our goals, and to end up in the playoffs, and that did happen last night. And our next goal is to be the conference champs, and that's next on our priority list, and we have three games to go. And, you know, if everything falls into place, we should be able to handle that.
Chad, when we talk about Southwestern and the position of that school kind of out, you might say at the edge of the cornfield, it reminds me of the baseball movie, what was it, Field of Dreams, where they built the field out into, isn't that the one where
yeah,
they built
it? And we built the radio station in the middle of a cornfield, too.
Yeah, right. And we're here in the middle of the cornfield at WSMI. So, but it always seems, you know, they're out there in the middle of nowhere, so to speak, but very competitive.
You know, I look at their roster. They don't have a ton of seniors. They got some juniors that probably just needed some experience. And I know they're big and strong. You know, I know that they're an upcoming team, but we don't want to look past Hillsboro. Aaron Duff will have them ready to go. And I told the kids at film this morning, I said, you know, they had a tough loss against Vandalia last night.
And Coach, Hillsboro is always one of those teams, no matter what their record is, you'll wake up on Saturday morning knowing you were in a football game.
Yes, you do. And I think we talked about that last week. We've had some games over the years with them that have just been battles of who's the more physical one. And we've ended up on the short stick a few times, and we've ended up on the other end of it a few times. So, you know, that's the great thing about South Central. So, you know, that's what we talked about this morning, and cannot let a record of any year, you cannot let a record or a comparative score be your evaluation of a team, because if heavens knows, that hasn't been the case in the South Central
right.
This year at all.
Chad, he's the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers. Congratulations on the win last night. Good luck next week against Hillsboro, and we'll talk to you next Saturday.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers, 5-1 on the year. And Uncle Ralph, they control their own destiny in the South Central.
Yes, they do. They, as Chad said, they've beat both Greenville and Vandalia, so they're in the catbird seat, and it's up to them. As Coach said, you know, you approach Hillsboro kind of like that rattlesnake laying there coiled up. You don't want to let him bite you.
That's exactly right. We need a break here on WSMI Sports Saturday. We'll be back after these messages.
If you're a farmer or an agribusiness, it's good to bank with people you know and trust. Hi, I'm Jim Miller, Vice President and Senior Loan Officer at Security National Bank. I specialize in ag lending, and Security National Bank's ag lending staff is experienced and ready to serve all your farming needs. We offer competitive rates. Stop by and see us today or log on to securitynb.com to find out more. Security National Bank, your hometown bank you can trust since 1932, with four locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Kurtz 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing and machine shop now has a heavy-duty tow truck and can tow your semis. They have a crew cab rollback to transport your car and your family, and they can pick up your motorcycle. There is nothing they can't tow. When you need a tow, remember Kurtz 24-hour towing and machine shop in Litchfield. 324-2400. That's 324-2400.
And at 9:20, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sunny skies for today. Expect highs in the mid-70s. Mostly clear for tonight. We'll have a low of around 50. And then for tomorrow, sunny skies. Expect a high of around 70. Right now at 9:21, we have a temperature reading of 58 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sports Saturday continues in 1 minute.
Is your home moving without you? You don't need a realtor. You need the foundation repair experts at Midwest Basement Technologies. Serving Central Illinois for over 30 years, correcting bowed or cracked walls, settlement problems, or wet and leaky basements and crawl spaces. If you live in Central or Southern Illinois, they service you. Call 1-800-848-9805 for your local service tech or visit them on the web at MidwestBasementTech.com. For money saving coupons, that's MidwestBasementTech.com. Remember, foundation problems won't go away. Protect your investment. The Nokomis Braves Junior High Baseball Team plays on the final day of the 2012 season. Hear the semifinal round game with the Braves beginning at noon, followed by the third placer championship game on WSMI AM 1540 and on the internet at WSMIRadio.com. Braves Baseball is brought to you in part by First National Bank of Nokomis, the Dairy Queen in Nokomis, Dennis Allman serving the Nokomis Pena area, Andy's Body Shop in Nokomis, and by Dirk's Radiator Service in Nokomis.
And at 9:21, Sports Saturday continues once again. Here's Tim Mize and Uncle Ralph.
Tobinat, thank you very much, and we will indeed have the Nokomis Braves taking on Hamilton coming up at 11:50 this morning on WSMI AM 1540 as the Braves play in the state semifinals of the IESA Class 1A State Baseball Tournament. Last night in Nokomis, it was homecoming night, and boy, did the fans get treated to a whale of a ball game. Joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of the Redskins, Gabe Cesaretti. And Gabe, my voice is weak this morning. I don't have much left in the old pipes. That was a heck of a ball game last night, even though you guys came up on the short end.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you know, we talked to the kids last night and this morning both, and I mean, you hate to let one like that slip away, but I mean, you know, they played their guts out last night. They had, you know, they did everything we asked of them. But, you know, like I said, you hate to come out on the short end of that other stick. But, you know, like you said, the fans were treated to one heck of a ball game. So, you know, they got their money's worth last night.
It was so entertaining. And sometimes in sports, as you well know, Gabe, you can learn a lot more from a loss than maybe a win. And I would imagine there's a lot of positives to take away from that game last night.
Yeah, I mean, there's a ton of positives. I mean, number one, you know, I think we silenced any doubters that, you know, didn't think we could play with a good team. We played with, you know, Alt Marquette is a great team, and I think that we showed we can be too, you know, and going ahead, that gives us confidence that we can play with anybody and we can score on anybody, and, you know, that'll be a lot of positives this week.
Absolutely. You guys put up 48 on it, but I was impressed. You guys ran the ball very successfully last night. Your offensive line along with your backs did a great job.
We did, and that's been the case all year. Offensive line's doing a great job. We have backs that you know, can make plays at any time. You know, our quarterback and receivers also. I mean, just we have a lot of weapons that can make a lot of things happen, and so does Marquette. And that's kind of what we expect. It was a back and forth, and we even made the comment a couple of times where, you know, I hate to see it, but it might be the last team with the ball might win. Mm-hmm. And that's how it ended up.
Absolutely, and you guys were winning 33-12, and I made the comment during the ball game that sometimes when a team loses a lead like that, the inclination to say, well, the team that had the lead kind of blew it. But that really was not the case at all last night. Marquette just simply made some plays, and that adjustment they made at halftime, they went to the Wildcat, and that really seemed to be one of the big differences in that second half.
Sure, it gave us some fits, and like you said, our kids' heads were in the right places. They knew that no lead was safe, and it was also just the opposite, too. We thought if they jumped out on us, that, you know, that they weren't going to be safe with the lead either. And, you know, like all year, like I've said about these kids, are just mentally tough, and you're not going to shake them either way. And, you know, like they were ready. We had told them all week Marquette can make one play into a touchdown anytime, and they made a couple of those plays. But you know, like I said, we stayed in there. There was never a doubt we were in that ball game, and they were going to fight till the end. And they sure did.
And it's amazing when you get in a game like that, Gabe, and you get down to the final 10, 15 seconds of a game. It's amazing how slow that clock moves, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. Yeah, we couldn't get it to speed up anyway, but we tried. But boy, yeah.
And Gabe, was there any thought when you guys put your last touchdown on the board? Ooh, we might have scored too quick.
Possibly, but I mean, at the same time, you know, your kids are pumped up, and you're like, well, here we go. We can, you know, they can make a play here. Let's make a stop on defense, and just didn't happen for us.
You guys wind up being a play away. You had Marquette 4th and 12, but Michael Ford, that kid, he's probably the fastest high school football player I've seen since I've been working at WSMI, and he's just a hard guy to get on the ground.
Yeah, and that comment was made a few times by coaches watching film, too. It wasn't a fact. You know, sometimes, a lot of the times, actually, we stopped the play they ran.
Right.
It was just him making a second effort, cut back, you know, slipping out of a tackle. And he's a great player. There's no doubt about it.
Well, it was a tough loss for you on your home field, but as you look moving forward now, three games left in the regular season, very bright road ahead for the Skins.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you don't want to lose. You hate losing, but that gave me more confidence in this team than I had even before last night. I mean, they're going to be right back to work Monday, and you know, where I think we're going to be dangerous down the road here.
And it's a game like that, like you said, sometimes you learn as much from losing, or maybe more than you do from winning. But there, as you said, your kids are determined now, maybe more determined than they were before they went in that game, and you got three left. You got your fifth win now. You're playoff eligible, and so it looks pretty bright for Nokomis at this time.
It does. Like I said, these kids are tough mentally. I mean, you're not going to shake them. They're going to be disappointed this weekend, but they'll be, no doubt in my mind, they'll be ready to go back to work Monday, and they'll look for this week, and that's all they'll think about this week is getting that sixth win and, you know, securing a playoff spot, and, you know, leaving no doubt.
And the nice thing is you got some home games coming. Last night, surprisingly, amazingly, only your second home game of the year, but there was a big crowd last night.
Yeah, and we talked about that, too. The crowd was huge, even though, you know, you just mentioned the Braves were playing in the state champion, you know, state tournament. Had a lot of fans there, and the volleyball team had a game last night, but we still had a huge crowd, and with what they saw last night, I would expect them to keep coming out.
That's an entertaining
team to watch.
Absolutely. I mean, that was just an exciting game. Now, maybe more exciting from a broadcaster and fans perspective than, say, a coach's perspective, because, man, I would imagine you're thinking, we're just a stop away. Just a stop away.
Yeah, a few times. Like that, yeah.
Gabe Cesaretti, thank you so much for your time this morning, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
Gabe Cesaretti, the head coach of the Nokomis Redskins. They lost a tough one last night, 52-48, as Marquette scored with just 8 seconds left on the clock.
One thing I have to say, we did get a lot of compliments on Facebook and that. I guess there was a lot of people from Nokomis that were out of town, were not able to make the homecoming game, put on Facebook. Thank God for WSMI because they were able to listen to the game via the podcast.
Or the live stream.
Yeah, we stream everything
at WSMIRadio.com. Yeah, it was a great game. It cost me my voice, Uncle Ralph, but small price to pay.
Yeah.
Entertaining game.
And you look back at that game, and you know, and probably one of the toughest pills to swallow in that game was the fact that they did have a 33-12 lead, and then it slipped away. And that's probably one of the toughest things. You know, if you're just going back and forth, you score, we score, mm-hmm. you score, and whoever scores last wins the game. But when you have a lead and you look back at some of the plays that was made that allowed Marquette to score, that's probably one of the things they'll be looking at real hard in the films.
No question. And Gabe put it best. You kind of had the feeling that whoever had the ball last was going to win, and that's the way it wound up, because Nokomis was answering after Marquette. I think they pulled it within 33-31. Nokomis came down with a touchdown to answer. Then Marquette came back with two scores to take the lead, but then Nokomis goes right back down the field and reclaims the lead. So it really was just a great football game on both sides. And a lot of times you hear neither team deserved to lose, but really that was the case last night. Nokomis did not deserve to lose that football game. They played so well and so hard.
Yeah, it's but, you know, one loss does not a season make.
No, and I think the Redskins will be better moving forward for that game last night. In the South Central Conference last night, Vandalia defeated Hillsboro by the score of 48-0. And joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of the Hillsboro Hilltoppers. And Duffy, we always talk about Vandalia being probably the toughest place to go in the South Central. That is just a hard, hard place to play.
Yeah, they're a good ball club. And don't fall short, we scored six, darn it.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's wrong. My score in front of me is wrong. Blame T-Tote.
I will
throw him right under the bus. So you did not get shut out last night. And now that may sound insignificant to some, but just mentally, it's always nice if you can get something on the board.
Yeah, I'm telling you right now, Vandalia is the best ball team we've played so far.
Really?
Yes. They are big. They are strong. You can tell their kids have hit the weight room really hard, and they're a tough football team, and if they keep getting better, I think they could do some things.
That's quite a statement to make, Duffy, with you've already played Greenville. Of course, you've got Carlinville coming up next week, and the Vandals are one of those teams. I never care what their record is. They could be 0-8. They're kind of like you guys. Doesn't matter what your record is. You're going to go in, you're going to battle, you're going to hit people, and you're going to make them know that they just played you.
Yeah, they're a physical ball club. I really like what they're doing with their kids. They've got a nice group of athletes. I mean, when they come out of the locker room, you can just tell they've got some athletes. And I'm telling you, I really think they're the best ball club we've played so far.
Now, next week you got Carlinville and Duffy. And refresh my memory, is that at your place or theirs?
It is at our place. We'll be playing our freshman game at 5:00 before the varsity, and then the varsity will play right after that.
And that's something you guys have been doing with Carlinville for how many years now?
Two or three now. We do it with Carlinville and Pena, and it's actually a pretty good deal, I think. You get a lot more people there. You get the freshman crowd, and then you get the freshman crowd that stick around with the varsity. Pretty cool experience.
I would imagine for the freshmen, they really like that, because not often do they get to play on Friday night.
Yeah, and you know they also get to play in front of a little bit bigger crowd because mm-hmm. people start showing up a little earlier. So it has actually worked out really well.
Now, did you come away from the game last night injury free, or did you have some bangs and booms? Or
we had one. Colt Murray. We thought he maybe broke a bone in his foot, but he got X-rays and everything last night. He'll be good to go. It's more of a bone bruise type deal. He may not practice a whole lot this week, but he should be able to to go by Friday.
Those bone bruises can be ouchy too.
Yeah, he got stepped on the foot and then sort of twisted a little bit at the same time, and had to come out. Didn't get to play the second half.
If we were talking to Chad Easter today earlier, and he was talking about how last year they were kind of bitten by the injury bug basically from the start of the season on, and that's kind of been the case with you. But it didn't start in the season; it started in the baseball season.
Yeah, you got that right. Injuries are a thing you got to deal with. They're a tough thing. We tell the kids all the time, next guy's got to step up. But, we've been hit with some injuries, and, you know, being young at the same time, it's tough. But, you know, we're not going to make any excuses. We're going to keep working hard. Our kids have improved a bunch from the start of the season. Last night, it's horrible to see kids not get paid for all the work they're putting into it. But, we're getting better, and we're going to keep working.
And really, Duffy, when you've got a young team, like you said, really the only thing you can hope from a coaching perspective is to improve each week.
Yeah, and even though we got beat like that last night, a lot of valuable reps were taken last night for the future. So you always got to keep that in the back of your mind. You know, even though you hate to lose and lose like we did, we just got beat by, a better ball club. And we told the kids last night at halftime we were down 42-0. Life lessons. Coach Van Giesen hit it on the head. Or what kind of man do you want to be when you grow up? Go out in the second half when things get going tough. Are you going to step it up and show some heart, or are you going to fold? And our kids kept playing hard.
And that's exactly what you want to see from the coaching perspective of things. Now, looking next week to Carlinville, talk about Vandalia being big, strong, and physical. That would be Carlinville as well.
Yeah. We're going to face another really good ball club. They've got a couple really good running backs. I haven't had a chance really to – I've seen them on film once from a previous exchange. I think I saw them the Greenville game and, what they did with them. So it's going to be a challenge for us, but we've got to take it that way as a challenge and keep working on getting better.
Well, your season is 1-5, Duffy, but if you could go in and do well against Carlinville, that would help make that season a lot more joyful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. You know, we can win a couple ball games here in the last few games, or you know, all of them. Be great for going in next year and give our young kids even that much more confidence. And you know, I'm hoping for the few seniors we got, you know, that we get a little more success for them here too. It's tough, but like you said, we're working on every week, and we have gotten so much better. I'm proud of our kids and what they've been doing.
Duffy, I'm curious. I've obviously never watched film from a coach's perspective. When you're sitting down watching tape on a prospective opponent, could you just kind of describe the challenges that that presents? Because you're watching an opponent playing, obviously, someone else who may not have the same personnel as you, may not have the same scheme as you. So when you're looking at tape of an upcoming opponent, what are the things that you're trying to see?
Well, a lot of things you're trying to compare, like, you know, maybe the other team's formation, what they line up defensively, you know, to you, but that's hard if they're playing a spread team and we're a run team. You know, we log every play down. I write every play down for our scout team to run at practice. Once we get that, we look at, you know, different formations the other team ran against them, maybe what little instances what they did, how they aligned to it, how they adjusted to it. And then you try to come up, you know, with what might work well. You look at maybe you try to find a guy on film that maybe is not their, you know, their top guy, and find ways to attack him. You know, a lot into it. It takes a lot of time. You might watch one play 100 times to get everything down, but it's part of the game, and it's a valuable part of the game.
Aaron Duff, the head coach of the Hillsboro Hilltoppers, good enough to join us here on Sports Saturday. And I guess, Duffy, really, the big question is, you got the deer stand set up.
Yes, it is. Me and my son have been checking the deer camera quite a bit. We've got a bunch of pictures on there, and he saw a couple bucks on there. He's fired up.
It's the time of the year now, Duffy, when you got a lot of options in the deer season. If you don't get one with your bow, or later on you don't get going with your shotgun, you still got the chance of getting one on the hood of your car or truck.
You got that right. You got that right.
And they...
I hope that doesn't happen, but
they are moving now. We came home from town last night, and these cornfields are bare now, and they're out in the middle of the road in front of you before you can realize it.
Yeah, I've seen the same thing, so we're getting geared up for it.
Duffy, thank you so much for your time this morning, and we will talk to you next week.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
All right, Aaron Duff, the head coach of the Hillsboro Hilltoppers here on WSMI Sports Saturday. Let's run down some of the scores from last night in the South Central Conference. And after Duffy corrected me on the scores, I'm not too confident here that Tito's got the right numbers written down.
Yeah.
But he's in Peoria, so I can throw him under the bus.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
He can't be listening yet.
No.
No. So according to the scores in front of me, Roxana...
I don't know. The station can be heard up in Chicago sometimes.
It's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Roxana, according to the scores I have, beat Litchfield 20-18. Vandalia over Hillsboro, as we just heard, 48-6. Carlinville got past Gillespie 63-27. Probably the game of the night in the South Central. Saw Southwestern come back late and clip Staunton 18-15. So now the Birds and the Dogs both 3-3 on the year. Greenville picked up win number 5 over really probably their toughest opponent year in, year out in the South Central for whatever reason. Pena always gives Greenville fits, but last night the Comets defeated the Panthers 49-14. So, Uncle Ralph, the way the South Central looks right now through 6 weeks of action, you've got Vandy, Greenville, and Carlinville at 5-1. But Carlinville has beat both the Vandals and the Comets, so they've got the tiebreakers there. And then you're looking at three teams right now at 3-3, Southwestern, Staunton, and Pena. So this conference, with 3 weeks to go, still a lot to be determined in terms of who's going to make the postseason.
Right, and you had a couple odd scores there, 20-18 and 18-15. That's a little odd football scores.
You don't see them a lot. Well, last night at Nokomis, I think Marquette, they might have made their last extra point. They only made one kick. A lot of failed two-point conversions, a lot of missed kicks, and you'll see that in high school a bit, where the extra point is anything but a guarantee.
Yeah. The extra point can be very elusive in high school football.
Absolutely. So in the Prairie State last night, as we've been talking about, Marquette got past Nokomis 52-48, so both squads now 5-1. The Explorers 3-0 in conference. Nokomis is 2-1 in Prairie State play. Kincaid South Fork, they defeated Decatur Lutheran last night 3-0. It's a bit of a surprising
score. Pitcher's duel.
That is.
Was that a no-hitter?
That was a no-hitter like Homer Bailey last night for the Reds. And Mount Olive, they took care of Bunker Hill 54-7 last night. That was action in the Prairie State.
Don't start on that Homer Bailey no hitter. I heard all about that last night, Uncle.
I heard
all about that last night.
I'm sure Double D was right on top of that.
I would say that's the worst thing that could have happened to the Reds.
I agree.
Very possible.
You know, they need to be worrying about the World Series, not no hitters.
Well, you know, last year we had a team go into the playoffs. I think they were from Philadelphia and fell flat on their face. And
didn't work out too good.
You never know. That's why they play the game.
That's why they play the game. That's exactly
right. What's the Cardinals' magic number now? One?
Three.
Is it three? Okay.
Yeah, they're up 3 on the Dodgers with 5 to play.
Yep.
In the Sangamo Conference last night, North Mac picked up win number 2, going to Riverton and scoring a 36-31 victory. So a good victory on the road for the Panthers last night in the Sangamo Conference. Auburn improved to 4-2 as they got past Sangamon Valley 46-12. And Athens still undefeated on the year. They shut out New Berlin 42-0. In the WIVC North yesterday, it was Camp Point Central 33, Triopia 22. That was the first loss for Concord Triopia. Camp Point Central remains undefeated on the season. Minden Unity over Jacksonville ISD 42-22. And Brown County shut out Jacksonville Route 20-0. In the WIVC South, it was Carrollton over Greenfield 41-8, Pleasant Hill over Calhoun 25-6, and Winchester defeated North Green 28-7. And in non-conference play last night, Dupo blanked Metro East Lutheran 53-0. And Uncle Ralph, you mentioned it before, but a lot of points scored last night. Terry told me this morning over 200 points were scored on our broadcast games last night.
Yeah. Well, 98 in the game you had. One of the usual.
And even 100 in the game I had.
Yeah. One of the usual pyres around a little bit out of our area that's taking their lumps this year is Calhoun. They're down. And usually, you know, they're right in the hunt every year.
Yeah, they kind of expect to be in the hunt over there on the banks of, the Illinois River, right?
Mm-hmm. It's quite a unique setting, that school down there in the Valley.
And that is a neat football field. If you've never been over there to watch a football game, it's a lot of fun.
I've been through there to see the facility, but I've never watched a game from there.
Did a playoff game over there years ago, and it was just a really neat atmosphere over there at Calhoun. And, of course, the Warriors to make the playoffs this year, probably not going to happen.
No, I don't think they've won maybe one or two games.
Yeah, trying to find the record. Yeah, they are now officially eliminated from the playoffs with their 5th loss last night. Coming up this morning, we're going to have a sports special for you from East Peoria as the Nokomis Braves will play in the 1A state semifinals in the IESA State Baseball Tournament. They will take on Hamilton this morning. Live coverage coming up at 11:50 on WSMI AM 1540. Of course, we'll be streaming online at WSMIRadio.com. And then, depending on what the Braves do in the semis, we will either have the third place game for you at 2:20, hopefully the championship game for you at 4:20. All the action today on WSMI AM 1540. And Uncle Ralph, you look at the Redskins varsity baseball program, they've had so much sustained success over the years, and I think what the Braves are doing this year is a prime example of why.
And I'm sure that Coach Pisco is smiling at what he's got coming up in the future. And if you look at this roster of these eighth grade kids, and having lived here and watched Nokomis sports most of my life, you see a lot of names on there of, I would guess some of them are sons, and a lot of them are probably grandsons of former stars at Nokomis High School.
Absolutely. We're going to take a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we're going to talk with the Braves head coach, or manager, I guess, Bob Davis. We'll do that next.
Hi, this is Robbie Morrison of the Nokomis FFA chapter. We will be sharing the roadways this harvest. Before taking farm equipment onto the roadways, make sure your slow-moving vehicle sign is clean and visible. Slow-moving vehicle signs should be displayed on the rearmost vehicle. If hauling, then the bright orange slow-moving vehicle sign should be displayed on the rear of every combine. Please make this a safe harvest.
Farming doesn't follow an 8 to 5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond.
When packing school lunches, pack the nutrition your kids need for growing and learning. Include foods from all parts of the food pyramid. For sandwiches that aren't soggy, spread whole wheat bread with Prairie Farms butter before you add the filling. For the thermos, fill it with Prairie Farms milk or chocolate milk. Or if you're out of fruit, 100% pure Prairie Farms orange juice. For nutritious and delicious school lunches, taste the homemade goodness of farmer-owned Prairie Farms.
Hey, Dad, I passed my driving test.
Nice license.
Shows off the facial hair, right?
What facial hair?
Anyway, Dad, I think it's time I had my own car.
Couldn't agree more.
Really?
Let me just grab the laptop and hit up dexknows.com. Let's see here. Used cars, no credit necessary. Perfect.
Whoa, sweet ride. How did you do that?
With Dex. When you need something here and you need it now, you gotta Dex it. So, let's use Dex to find you...
Hey, I'm Mike. Nice facial hair, kid.
Who's he?
Top-rated mechanic. The way you drive, you'll need one.
Good call.
Hey, Mike, you need any help in the front office?
You need a job?
No, but my son does.
I do.
How else are you gonna pay for all of this?
Oh.
Need something local and need it now? Find it with Dex. In the book at dexknows.com or on your mobile phone. You'll get the sharpest local info, reviews, and advice fast. Dex. Results for the here and now.
And at 9:46, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Sunny skies for today. Expect highs in the mid-70s. Mostly clear for tonight. We'll have a low of around 50. And then for tomorrow, sunny skies. Expect a high of around 70 degrees for tomorrow. At 9:46, we have a temperature reading of 61 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Sports Saturday continues in 90 seconds.
Hi, I'm Jim Miller, Vice President, Senior Law Officer at Security National Bank. Farmers, it's time to get your finances in order, and we're ready to help you at Security National Bank, a small-town bank where we know your name with an established reputation in the area since 1932. We can help with all your ag lending needs. Stop by and see us today or log on to securitynb.com to find out more. Security National Bank, your hometown bank you can trust since 1932, with four locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving and Fillmore, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Since 1899, four generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in Central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal attention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro, you do have a choice.
The Nokomis Braves Junior High Baseball Team plays on the final day of the 2012 season. Hear the semifinal round game with the Braves beginning at noon, followed by the third placer championship game on WSMI AM 1540 and on the internet at WSMIRadio.com. Braves Baseball is brought to you in part by your Asgrow, DeKalb, and Channel C dealers in the Nokomis area, Almond Realty and Appraisal in Nokomis, Nokomis Tire and Auto Repair, and by Rupert Apartments in Nokomis, Litchfield, Witt, and Irving.
And welcome back to Sports Saturday. Coming up at 11:50 this morning, live coverage from East Peoria of the IESA 1A State Baseball State Semifinals as Nokomis will take on Hamilton. And joining us on the phone right now is the Braves manager, Bob Davis. And Bob, congratulations on a big win yesterday.
Oh, it was great. Now, it was outstanding. It was a good ball game. We jumped out in front in the first inning with a three-run homer by Ryan Archibald, and then we added solo shots by or two more home runs, one by Andrew Herbstreit and one by Reed Detmers, and we hung on for a 7-0 win. So we're ready for today. I think we've got our pitching staff lined up just right with the pitching rules that are imposed by the IESA, so we're looking forward to a great day.
And, Bob, sometimes those quarterfinal games carry a little bit more pressure than even the semifinal, because once you get past the quarterfinal, you know you're guaranteed a trophy and two more games.
Right, right. So I think just about everyone yesterday threw their number one pitcher, just like we did. And in the first game yesterday, it went 10 innings, which threw everything back. And don't even know who won that game, but they've exhausted their pitching staff a little bit more than we have. We threw Reed Detmers 5 innings yesterday, and so he can throw 4 today. The only problem is he threw 95 pitches yesterday. And then we came in with Ryan Archibald for 2 innings, so he can go 7. And then we have Andrew Herbstreit if we need be, and you need more than one pitcher. So I think we're lined up pretty good.
Bob, what time did you guys get home last night? Because your game was supposed to start at 4:30, but you mentioned the long game, the start of the day. I think you didn't get started till after 6 o'clock, so that wound up being a pretty late night.
Right, it was after 6. We all stayed up last night, stayed at a Hampton Inn.
Okay.
And so we all stayed up, and the bus came back. So I just signed them all off to their parents, and we met down in the lobby at 9 o'clock, had a little breakfast buffet from them, and then we just now getting here to, we're going to hit for a little bit, take some infield, and then watch the first game, which starts at 10 o'clock.
And you got some picture-perfect weather this weekend for this tournament.
Oh, it's beautiful. It is absolutely gorgeous day up here, and if you've never seen this facility, this is quite the place. They must have 8 ball diamonds. And it's just beautiful here. They got a football field. They run the state track meet up here, and everything. And boy, this is just a great place to great venue for the baseball tournament.
And it's such a great time for the kids. So I remember when I was in eighth grade, we went to state for basketball, and I just remember all the little things. Not so much the game; we got destroyed, but the bus ride up. You know, you stop for dinner, all those little things. You know, your kids today get to have a breakfast like that in a hotel. Those are just fun things that they'll remember for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Yes, they will. And I think this will soak in. I don't really think they realize the gravity of the of being here and in this atmosphere. Many, many players that other teams have been on, a lot of them never make it up here. And these guys will be realizing this, but I'm not so sure they're pretty well grounded. They're not they're focused. They know what we have to do, and they're ready.
Well, Bob, you mentioned before in our conversations when we look or listen to your roster, you've got several names from the past that I'm sure you've coached or had associations with in the Nokomis school program, athletic programs.
Absolutely. We've got 6 players that start that had their fathers on the team, and starting with B.J. Charles, who leads off for us. His dad, Brian, played for me. And then our number 3 hitter, Reed Detmers, I had his father in both junior high and high school, and he's helping me coach. He made it to Triple-A. We've got Ryan Archibald, whose father played for me, and also Ryan's uncle, Roy Marcus, played on that state tournament team back in 77. And we have Brendan Friesland, whose dad played on that 77 team, and Connor Engelman. And we also have Austin McDowell, whose father, Adam, played for me. But we've got a pretty good bunch, those 6, and then you throw in Scott Herbstreit, who had a home run. He's our number 2 hitter. My grandson, Marcus Koss, he plays. He plays left field. And then I've got my secret weapon, so to speak, is Abel Gunn, who's about 2'2", and his strike zone's about 1.1. So we use him a little bit in the DH role. But we also have Josh Clymer, Ben Marley. And then we have a kid who was injured in football and broke his arm. Who was a starter with Camden Ransdell. So I think that pretty much rounds out our ball club, all 13 of them. I don't think I left anyone out. But we've had a great run, a great bunch of kids. And, you know, we're a, think we're 16-0. We might be. I can't remember now. I lose track.
Yeah, you're 16-0 going in.
They don't think about that. They think about one game at a time. They're focused on what we have to do, and it's working out great.
You know, Bob, in listening to you talk about those kids and coaching their dads, and you're talking about their grandsons playing for you, you know, I deduct from all that you're going to get old some of these days.
Well, they kind of keep you young. They really do. They really do. We've got, I've got some parents. I've got my batting practice longevity. I can't go as long as I used to. And I've got Brian Shaughnessy helping me, Adam McDowell, and Chris Detmers. They're helping me with the batting practice as we're speaking right now. So they've been a tremendous help, the fathers have. And they're very supportive.
Bob Davis joining us here, the head coach of the Nokomis Braves. And, Bob, I was at Nokomis last night for the homecoming football game, and we were giving the folks in the press box an update of your score, and they were announcing it to the crowd. And there was a lot of big roars last night, but the biggest one might have been when they announced over the loudspeaker that you guys had advanced to the state semifinals. And I know the support of the community is very important to you.
Oh, most definitely. They had a big pep rally yesterday for the high school team. And the junior high is adjacent to the high school, and they introduced or mentioned the baseball team, and we didn't want to steal any of their thunder for the homecoming weekend. And unfortunately for Gabe Cizaretti, I guess we got beat in the last few seconds.
Last play of the game.
Last play of the game by Alton Marquette, but they've got a dance tonight for their homecoming, and we will be. Getting back later on today, hopefully about 6:30 when we're playing, but for the championship. But we're going to have a reception tomorrow sometime, and I'll talk to you about that so you can pass that on to your listeners.
Absolutely. And Bob, one last thing. Do you know anything about Hamilton, your opponent, coming up at noon today?
We watched a little bit of them yesterday, and their starting pitcher went 7. They were down 2-0. I think they wound up winning 7-3, but don't quote me on that one. So I don't know that much. I don't know that much about them. I don't even know where they're located in the state for sure. So,
well, Bob, one responsibility I want to put on your shoulders. We've got our man T-Toad up there to do those games, and you're responsible. You know, if you guys can win it all. You know, Terry tends to get a little bit excited, so kind of tried to keep him under control.
Good luck.
Good. His excitement is contagious now. It really is. And Chris Detmers, like I said, has been helping me all year. And, of course, his boy plays, but he's been an asset. And him and I have to reel one another in every so often. We're getting kind of excited. But during the game, we're both relatively cool, and we try to pass that on to the kids so they don't get too excited either.
Kind of nice to have a guy like Detmers standing beside you with the knowledge and experience that he's got under his hat.
Oh my, oh my! Yes, it is. He's been invaluable to the program, and great guy to have around. And like I said, I had him in junior high and high school, and. Somebody asked me, does his boy Reed throw harder than Chris did? And I said, I don't know. I think he might throw a little bit harder. So it's been a great run and a great ride.
Bob, good luck today. We're all going to be listening and rooting you on, and we hope you bring home the big trophy later on tonight.
Okay. I would like to pass on, if you don't mind, that with the homecoming, dances tonight. Whatever, however this day plays out, as Ernie Banks would say, let's play two. However this plays out today, we will have a reception tomorrow at one of the gyms. I'm not for sure which one, and we will meet out at the subway. Of course, our traditional fire truck ride, and we'll get on the fire truck around 10 to 1, and then have a reception out at the school. And the public is. Always invited because they're quite supportive over the years.
All right, Bob. Thank you so much for your time. Good luck today. Go Braves as Nokomis will host Hamilton in the IESA 1A state semifinals coming up live coverage 11:50 this morning on WSMI AM 1540. It'll also be streaming online at WSMIRadio.com. So good luck to Bob Davis and the Braves today.
And I was just going to say, should they be fortunate enough to win it all, that ride home will seem like they're on a Greyhound bus, not a school bus.
That's right, like they're floating home on a cloud. We got Fighting Illini football coming up at 10:30 this morning, so that means bonus coverage here of WSMI Sports Saturday rolls on following NBC News Radio here on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville, the station you can count on. We're back with more Sports Saturday on the other side of NBC News Radio.
And at 10:04, we're in overtime. Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Tim Mize and Uncle Ralph.
All right, Tobinot, thank you very much. Welcome back to Sports Saturday. We've got Fighting Illini football coming up at 10:30 this morning here on FM 106 as Illinois opens up Big Ten play hosting Penn State at the bottom of the hour here on WSMI FM 106. But we're happy to be joined in studio right now by Pete Moyer as he was on the David Letterman Show Tuesday night, Pete, or was it Wednesday?
Tuesday night.
Tuesday night on Stupid Human Tricks. I love the Stupid Human Tricks. Pull-ups.
Yep.
How does one come to even realize they can do that?
Well, to be a stupid human, I do a lot of different things while hula hooping. That was one of those things where I think I asked people what they would want to see, either me holding a bar and juggling in one hand or holding a bar and hula hooping with my feet off the ground. And eventually I just turned it into pull-ups and chin-ups and all that good stuff.
And you have a class, I guess, at Fusion?
Yeah.
Hula Hotties?
Hula Hotties. Yeah, we're about to start up the class again. We don't have it going on right now. Obviously, I'm a little busy, but we plan on starting it pretty soon.
Very cool. And just kind of describe for our listeners, if you could, how you even go about getting on the David Letterman Show like that.
Well, you can just go to their website. You can kind of type up your, you know, describe your trick, what you do. And for them, I sent in just a complete audition reel of everything I do. So I sent in something like of me catching grapes in my mouth while hula hooping and also doing the pull-ups and chin-ups while hula hooping, even running while hula hooping. They were going to have me run out on the stage while hula hooping and do a few laps around Dave.
How does one even hula hoop and run at the same time?
It takes a lot of practice. I definitely had to start practice with baby steps first, practice my hula walking before I could hula run. And now I'm up to doing about 3 miles at a time hula running.
Speaking of baby steps, when did you start all this? At what age?
Let's see. I started juggling. Let's see. I've been juggling for about 10 years, so my arms are tired. But no, I've been juggling since I was 9 years old. And hula hooping, I've always known how to do. Started combining it with my act and everything about a year ago, though. Now I just hula hoop and multitask. I also hold the world record for the longest time hula hooping while juggling. That's an hour. I did that upstage in Hillsboro back in April.
So is that the only world record you hold, or do you hold a couple of different records for these types of things?
I hold several. Okay. Yeah, there's a cool website called recordsetter.com. It's kind of like the informal Guinness where you can come up with your own record. So I hold the record for the most stairs climbed while juggling. That's about 630 steps while juggling, juggled up to the top of the Hilton in Springfield. I also hold the record for the most chin-ups while hula hooping, and I've done about 10 chin-ups. And, I also hold the world record for the smallest amount of gas pumped at a gas station. 3 cents worth of gas up at pump number one at Moto. And that's probably my favorite record I have.
That's a good one.
No, that's a good one.
That's hard to beat.
That's a good one.
And that might stand for a while.
It is, yeah. Yeah.
Because at today's prices, I don't have the foggiest idea how you got it stopped at 3 cents.
Yeah.
Because I always try to stop it at $20 or $30, and invariably you'll have one or two pennies
yeah.
on there.
Yeah. It's hard to get under five. That's what I've realized.
I saw Pete. You were running once in Hillsboro, and you were juggling. You juggle while you run. Do your morning jog. It's
yeah, yeah.
I saw you, and I'm like, I think that's who I thought it was. But I'm like, that's odd, but it works.
Joggling.
Joggling. Yep. Juggling while jogging is joggling.
Is now that to me? Well, I don't know which would be which is harder. Hula hooping while doing pull-ups or joggling.
Probably hula hooping while doing pull-ups. It's a weird movement. Juggling while running kind of just flows together. Your arms are kind of moving in pace with your stride. And for me, it actually makes juggling a little or running a little more entertaining. I get bored on runs, so if I wasn't juggling, it would feel I would probably fall asleep.
Do you fall down a lot while you're?
No, not yet. Anyways,
you're doing this and running.
No. I only stick with three balls right now. Four and five would be a completely different pace and rhythm.
Pete Morey joining us here on WSMI Sports Saturday. He was on the David Letterman Show earlier this week on Stupid Human Tricks, and that had to be just nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
To be out there. My goodness.
Yep. Yeah. It was nerve-wracking. It didn't really set in until about the night before when I started seeing people talk about me. And I didn't announce whether or not I made the show until the show was actually filmed. I find out 15 minutes before the show whether or not I made it, but I wanted to, you know, be absolutely certain they don't edit my part out or anything like that. So
you were out there, but not guaranteed to actually be on
the
show.
Yeah. So if my trick, if I completely messed it up, they could just edit it out and replace me with another stupid human.
There's no shortage of stupid humans.
There's no shortage. There's six people at audition, and three of us make it. So I was one of the lucky ones, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. So are you backstage with all the other quote unquote stupid humans, kind of just discussing your various tricks?
Yeah, and everyone else, you know, their trick is small enough to rehearse backstage, back in the green room. You saw the guys stick a balloon through one guy's face.
Yeah, that was gross.
Nose. Yeah. So they were practicing backstage. They got to rehearse it over and over, make sure his nostrils are all lubricated and stretched and ready to go. And then the guys with the yo-yos, they got to, you know, practice their trick again and again. For me, I couldn't practice because my chin-up bar and everything is out on stage. I don't even have enough room to hula hoop. So I just, you know, said, all right, we'll see how it goes.
And that came into play because I remember this was the crowd was applauding too fast.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, have the crowd slow it down a little bit. And then you got into a rhythm where you did about four of them.
Yeah. Yeah. The crowd was really rambunctious that night. Dave actually had to address them during the commercial break and said, you guys got to settle down on the clapping. The show's going to last, you know, twice as long if you guys keep on clapping this hard. They were all just excited to be there and everything. And I think they edited out a lot of the clapping and applause and everything.
And I can see where what you're doing, a juggling or something like that, I can see where the cadence of the audience could throw you off.
Yeah.
So was there anything, once you were in the Ed Sullivan Theater, you're backstage, are you looking around and think, I cannot believe I am right here?
Yeah. Same stage that the Beatles performed on and everything like that. And, it fits about 300 people, which is, you know, nerve-wracking enough to, you know, perform in just a crowd of 300. And the show's aired to about 3.6 million people every night.
Is that all?
That's about all, yeah.
Well, it's intimidating. That building is huge. If you've ever been, Tim, if you've ever been by that Ed Sullivan Theater, it's
huge. I go by there every day, yeah.
No, I know, yeah. Well, yeah, but I mean, it's huge. I've been by it once in my life. It is intimidating just to look at it.
The building may be big, but a lot of TV sets are small, and you said the Late Show set, Pete, is the same deal.
Yeah, the set, it's all camera work that makes it look huge on TV, but it's pretty small. There's not much space for, you know, me, Dave, and Paul. We're I think all about 10 feet away.
That's amazing because on TV it looks just cavernous and like there's all sorts of space, but very confined.
Very confined, yeah.
And that probably doesn't help calm the nerves any. You know, you got Paul Schaefer a few feet to your right, Letterman a few feet to your left. Like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
When you speak of the audience, how large of audience was there there?
It's seats about 300 people in the Ed Sullivan Theater. There's a balcony and floor seating and everything like that. And, about 300 people in the audience.
What has been the reception from people back in Hillsboro since this has aired?
Well, Hillsboro has been great because me and the other stupid humans that were on the show, we all compared, who's getting the most texts and calls from back home. And then I logged into Facebook and it was just blowing up with, you know, stuff about me and everything like that. So it was a lot of fun.
And I would imagine that when Hula Hotties gets going again, you're probably going to have a lot bigger class.
Yeah, we're probably actually going to have to do maybe two classes, maybe two different age groups, have a Hula Hotties and a Hula Hipsters or something like that.
And I mean, it's a stupid human trick, I guess, obviously, but at the same time, it is exercise, but it's fun exercise.
Yeah.
When you look down, looking down the road, what's your next big caper going to be?
Well, my next big caper... I usually keep all my records top secret, the ones I'm working on. But I am working on running a mile backwards while juggling. And that I'm working on getting under about 8.5 minutes.
Well, that leaves Tim and I out walking and chewing gums. Our big next adventure.
I can't even run a mile forwards without juggling. You're going to run backwards while juggling.
Yeah, backwards while juggling. And maybe I'll add chewing gum to it. That'll be
there you
something
go.
Else.
That's right. Just now, another layer to it.
Now, you say run a mile backwards while juggling.
Yep.
Are you talking about running a mile on a track? Or
yeah,
where
on a track, probably.
Okay.
How in the world can you take the turns?
I'll probably need like a hat with a rear view mirror or something, but no, I've been practicing it a little bit, and I can usually go by the markings on the track when my turn's coming up.
How do you think of this stuff?
How do I think of this stuff?
Yeah.
Gosh, I don't know. I usually just try to think of what else is there to do. I have 195 records on this site called Record Setter, and so I'm starting to run out of, or I think I'm running out of things, so then I come up with something, you know.
I think the title of the event on Letterman, Stupid Human Tricks. That's
right. And that's such a popular... I've always loved the stupid human tricks. I mean, it's amazing the stuff that humans can do. And it's hard stuff. I mean, this is not... Every trick that was on the show was hard. I mean, not just any person can say, oh, yeah, I'm going to swing a yo-yo around and strike a book of matches.
Yep.
Or, oh, I'm going to hula hoop while doing pull-ups. You know what? You can't do it. How many hours of practice goes into the events before you try to set the record?
Well, people that work out at Fusion Fitness see me, you know, that's how I do my chin-ups and pull-ups there. I do it while hula hooping. I'd probably do about 50 chin-ups or pull-ups a day, depending on if it's a chest or a shoulder day. But yeah, usually about 50 a day.
Do you ever do pull-ups without hula hooping, and does it feel weird if you do them that way?
It doesn't feel as cool that way. No one's watching me then, but
let's walk through a typical day. What's a typical day?
For me? Let's see. I usually wake up, run about 5 miles while juggling. Then usually try to think of some new record to set. Yeah, my workout right now is mainly running and then juggling medicine balls. That's my arm workout. Medicine balls, yep. 2-pound Gold's Gym medicine balls. And I set a lot of records with those. So
beat that one, Tim. Come on now.
I can't beat anything Pete's doing.
Yeah.
No chance.
Hey,
I hurt myself.
Try the gas pump record.
I might be able to do that. I'm cheap. I might be able to pull that one off.
Yeah.
Maybe.
3 cents. Now you gotta make it 2 or 3 or less.
That's true. Yeah, you can't get 2.5 cents.
No. Yeah. No. The people at Moto asked for my autograph, you know, on the receipt after I paid.
3 cents a gas. Now, Pete, I'm curious. You mentioned you juggle 2-pound medicine balls. What else?
What else? Anything.
Do you juggle?
Anything else.
Anything.
I have people request things they want to see me juggle.
Okay.
And I usually put out a video or a record of me doing just that. So.
Now, do you have a website?
Yeah, I have PeteTheJuggler.com, and I also have my own Facebook page for Facebook.com/PeteTheJuggler.
And, of course, you made a mention you emailed the producers of The Late Show, and then they contacted you, and then you flew out to New York
to
be a part of the show, but there was no guarantee that you were going to be on the show, correct?
Yeah. Stupid Human Tricks is only filmed usually once or twice a year. It's usually a big segment. They save it for one of the biggest weeks on Letterman when they have the best guests and everything. And so I emailed them a week ago. I emailed one of the producers, and they flew me out there with 6 other people. And some of the people out there auditioning again had already been flown out. You know, they went out before, and their trick just wasn't, good enough for TV, so they got flown out again. Hmm. So that's what I was kind of hoping for, was they like my trick, maybe not good enough.
Get 2 trips.
Get 2 free trips out to New York. But, yeah, I didn't know it was going to be, aired this week, so I sent in an audition last week, and last Thursday they said, hey, we want to fly you out Monday.
Now, when they're flying you out, is that coach or first class?
Coach for me, first class for my hula hoop. The flight attendants had a fun time trying to get that on the flight, so they eventually just put it up in first class.
Very nice.
Was Letterman and Paul, were they pretty nice? Did you have a chance to talk with any of them, or was it just kind of you were out there, and then that was your time, and then you were done?
Yeah, that was my only time to meet Dave. I met Paul backstage, got to shake his hand and everything. And Yeah, I got to meet the producer, Alan. Had him in the makeup room at the same time as me. And so as soon as he walked in, I said, "Hey, Alan, can you say introducing Pete the Juggler?" And he, "Introducing Pete the Juggler, live at the Ed Sullivan Theater."
Is that your ring? That's your ringtone.
No,
now, isn't it?
He didn't let me get out my phone to record it. But
Let me guess, you flirted with Kaylee Cuoco too, didn't you?
I only saw her once. They had a lot of security on her, probably because of me.
How long were you actually in New York City?
I was there from Monday. I took the earliest flight out there Monday morning and the latest flight out Wednesday.
So you got a chance to go around and see some sights?
Yeah. Didn't get to go joggling through Central Park or anything like that. I really wanted to, but yeah, I got to run around Times Square. My hotel that they put me in is, just two blocks away from the Ed Sullivan, so it's right there on Broadway and everything. And then I think the last day when I had to check out of the hotel, I went down to Brooklyn, Manhattan, and ran around there for a while.
That is so cool, Pete. Pete Moyer from Hillsborough was on the David Letterman Show, Stupid Human Tricks, hula hooping while pulling up, doing pull-ups. He's joggling. He's doing all sorts of things, all sorts of world records. And, Pete, thank you so much for coming out.
Thanks for having
giving
me.
Us a few minutes of your time. And I told you off the air, usually if people come out to the radio station, they might be a little nervous about talking on the radio. But I knew you weren't going to be nervous because you were on the David Letterman Show, for crying out loud.
Yeah. Yeah, no, WSMI is a lot bigger than that. Even more nerve-wracking.
Pete Moyer, thank you so much, and a job well done on
thank
Letterman.
Thank you.
We're back with more Sports Saturday after this.
I'll never forget
that moment.
As long as I live. My first call-up ever as a member of the National Guard.
When we got to the armory, they briefed us on the wildfires. They were getting dangerously close to homes.
Helicopters were going out to drop water on the fires.
Guys in the unit were preparing for firefighting with local fire crews.
At that moment, I got my first taste of just how important the Guard is to my community.
See how the Guard can be an important part of your life at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Illinois National Guard. Aired by the Illinois Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hi, this is Jasmine Wrench with the Hillsborough FFA chapter with some harvest season reminders for all motorists to remember. When approaching an oncoming vehicle, you may have to move over on the roadway into loose gravel or uneven surface. Watch in all rural areas for the bright red and orange triangle on the rear of farm equipment. As a slow-moving vehicle emblems, and it means just that. Slow down. Let's have a safe harvest season and a great fall.
And let's take a quick look at the weather forecast. Sunny skies for today. We'll have highs in the mid-70s, mostly clear for tonight. Expect a low of around 50 degrees. And then for tomorrow, sunny skies. We'll have a high Sunday of around 70 degrees. Extended look Monday through Wednesday, mostly clear. Expect highs in the mid-70s. Lows will be in the mid-50s. At 10:21, we have a temperature reading of 64 degrees. And Sports Saturday continues. Right after this.
The Nokomis Braves Junior High Baseball Team plays on the final day of the 2012 season. Hear the semifinal round game with the Braves beginning at noon, followed by the third placer championship game on WSMI AM 1540 and on the internet at WSMIRadio.com. Braves Baseball is brought to you in part by First National Bank of Nokomis, the Dairy Queen in Nokomis, Dennis Allman serving the Nokomis Pena area, Andy's Body Shop in Nokomis, and by Dirk's Radiator Service in Nokomis.
And at 10:21, back now to more Sports Saturday once again. Here's Tim Mize and Uncle Ralph.
Tobinat, thank you very much. And, of course, thanks to Pete Moyer for joining us in our WSMI studios here. That is a neat guy right there.
Yeah.
He is.
And what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm a juggler. It's unique.
Just a juggler, Uncle Ralph, a juggler and a runner at the same time.
Yeah.
Juggler.
Our hula hooper.
It's a juggler.
Every year in Hillsborough, they have the Montgomery County Has Talent, and he did his juggling routine as part of it last year because I was emceeing it, and he juggled fire. It was incredible.
Pete the Juggler.com is his website, and he was on the Letterman Show, so that was just such a neat experience. And I think it would say 195 records is what he holds. I think that's the number that he said. So just phenomenal.
And you'd say, well, what kind of records? Well, I pumped 3 cents worth of gas at the gas station,
Right. Like, that's a skill.
Who would even be sitting at the breakfast table and say, well, I'm going to go get 3 cents worth of gas this morning?
The combination of the creativity with the actual talent. I mean, that is a skill to do those types of things. That is a skill that has to be worked on. So hats off to Pete Moyer. Mm-hmm. And I think the Hula Hotties class is going to be very popular coming up at Fusion. Yes. So we thank Pete very much for coming out here and joining us on WSMI Sports Saturday. Coming up at 11:50 this morning, we will have junior high baseball from the state tournament semifinal action. Nokomis will take on Hamilton today. Live coverage comes up at 11:50 on WSMI AM 1540 and, of course, streaming online at WSMIRadio.com. On the way in about 6 minutes here on FM 106, the Illini will kick off their Big Ten schedule hosting Penn State. And Uncle Ralph, I have no idea what to expect from the Illini today.
No, and I don't think anybody else does. I imagine the coaching staff doesn't even know what to expect from this group. But a lot of it will depend on the quarterback being back and how good he can perform. And there's got to be some animosity between Illinois and Penn State. And so it should be an interesting afternoon.
And you would like to think that Illinois is going to come out angry today after an unacceptable loss at home to Louisiana Tech. The game wasn't even close.
No.
They didn't just lose. They got blown out on their home field by a clearly inferior team. Although I guess you can't say they're clearly inferior. They won.
Yeah.
But that's a game that Illinois has no business losing whatsoever. It's an unacceptable loss under any circumstance. So you better come out today and play a good ball game.
Illinois
or the natives will be restless.
Illinois has to come out and play a good football game today for several reasons, and one of them, the natives will be restless. But even more important, Tim, is looking down the road. If we can't compete today against Penn State, what are we going to go against Ohio State, Michigan, Purdue, Wisconsin, and all of the other teams in the Big Ten? We're in for a long, nasty football game if we can't compete.
Tim, yeah, Penn State has not looked good at any point this year, so you're right, Uncle Ralph. If you can't handle Penn State in your home field this year, it's going to be a long, long season.
I liked your comment after that debacle last week. You know, Ron Zook caters. I hope you're happy.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, you hit the nail right on the head. I mean, Illinois had a big-time coach.
People who listen to this show on a regular basis know that I was a Ron Zook fan. I liked Ron Zook. I thought firing him was the wrong move. But obviously they made the decision, and sometimes be careful what you wish for. The program was in shambles when he took it over. He built it up. Worst thing that happened to him was making the Rose Bowl in what wound up being, I think, his second year. But he got a lot of players. There's a lot of players in the NFL who are saying Illinois now. And that is because of Ron Zook. And did he win? He obviously didn't win enough games to keep his job, but I thought he was unjustly fired. And looking at the way they've performed so far, they have not been good.
Well, Tim, I think what people have to look at and what we have to look at is it's very, very difficult right now for Illinois to recruit any top-notch football players. They're going to go other places.
That's right. And I don't understand why Illinois feels that they're entitled to be a football school. Obviously, M-O-N-E-Y, money, as you always say, Uncle Ralph, that is with football, so all the schools want to have dominant football programs. But Illinois, the state, the school, it's always been and always will be a basketball school. To me, a bad basketball team is more unacceptable than Illinois. That's why Bruce Weber had to go. But for Ron Zook to get fired like he did after they started 6-0 and obviously lost their last six, but, man, I think they just got a little bit hasty. And I wish Tim Beckman nothing but the best. I hope he turns it around. I hope he turns him into a perennial power. But I just don't see it happening.
Well, and looking down the road a little farther, you mentioned the basketball program, and it's going to be a tough winter for the basketball program. They've got a lot of holes to fill, and they got a lot of proving to do also, just like the football squad. Yeah.
Keep in mind that Rose Bowl appearance, that was only because Ohio State was playing in the championship game. They weren't originally – it's not like they were originally slotted for that game.
True.
That wasn't the case. Ohio State was playing for the national title. Illinois filled that role. I mean –
yeah, but I mean, they still played in the Rose Bowl, and after that, it just seems like the expectations for the program went to really unattainable heights. Because, as you said, Uncle Ralph, no matter what Illini season ticket holders want to think or anybody, I'm a fan of them. I like the Illini.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, I'm not delusional.
No.
You know, they're not very good. Ohio State, not in the same league. Michigan, not in the same league. Wisconsin, no. Purdue, no. They are closer, not even Northwestern. It's head and shoulders above them now. It's Illinois and Indiana. That's who Illinois is on par with.
realistically, I sit here and look at their program this morning, and I say, in the Big Ten now I'm speaking of, there's probably only two or three games that Illini, I can actually say, might win.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's pretty blunt, but you look at what you just mentioned, the team you just mentioned, then that leaves Indiana, Penn State. These are winnable games, but the rest of the games, I they're in trouble.
That's right. Well, I forgot about Nebraska. Nebraska's in the Big Ten now. Yeah. They're not beating Nebraska.
No.
I just want to say one thing, not to change the subject. I'm glad we have the original hosts back and not the replacement hosts. So.
No.
I just want to bring that up. That. So.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, the regular refs are back now, but that's not a big surprise after the Monday night debacle. And the crazy thing about the replacement refs is they were high school and junior college refs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they couldn't even get the Division I refs because obviously they're busy doing Big Ten games, sure. SEC games. So, sure. Yeah, that was just an unmitigated disaster.
The one was in the lingerie football league.
That's right, yeah. So, shame on Roger Goodell and the NFL for compromising a football season like they did.
As solid as the NFL is in most of the things they do, they fumbled the ball on that.
Oh, big time.
Big time.
Big time. We are out of time. We're going to have the Fighting Illini coming up momentarily here on FM 106 at 11:50 this morning on AM 1540. The Nokomis Braves take on Hamilton in the 1A state baseball semifinals in the IESA state tournament. That comes up at 11:50 this morning on AM 1540. Also streaming online at WSMIRadio.com. We want to thank all of our guests, especially Pete Moyer, for coming out and joining us in studio today. For Tobin, Uncle Ralph, I'm Tim. This is WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville, the station you can count on. The Illini and Penn State, right now on FM 106.